good of mine, since you can take me up to the street. And...
Come on, dry your chest,
you
have.
You got
icicles. Oh. You know what? I can't try to cut the phone in the car. I don't know what maybe I dropped
it.
It's okay, though, honey.
Drop what?
Instead of telephone numbers, there's two things, pictures, paper, plastic, papers on it, and then the third thing was that they tie it in the telephone. And you put one person puts it up to his ear, and the other person puts it up to his mouth, and they talk, and the one that has it up to his ear can lift it, can hear it, even if he busts another ear.
Did you lose it?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, I always can find one of them.
He has traveled over most of the North American continent. No. including the Arctic and Hudson Bay regions.
Oh, look at that.
Mr. Gunderson will illustrate his talk with some beautiful 35-millimeter colored slides which he has taken himself. His lines are outstanding since he is recognized as a proficient photographer of wildlife. Come and bring your friends. Increase your knowledge of our North Company country by hearing Mr. Harvey Gunderson.
This isn't very expensive. Look at the new Hotel Leamington. Look at their menu.
Hotel Leamington. Blue points cocktail on the $1.45.
Oh.
Not expensive.
Coupe. Yeah, that means cup. Could you say chasse?
Oh.
Because this one
is chasing
this one.
Just take it. Since when is tenderloin steak for $5 not expensive, Meredith?
Tenderloin.
Right. Own in Imperial Garden tenderloin steak.
Salads are pretty expensive.
Hi.
Cheese. Swiss cheese, 55 cents, served with assorted crackers.
Beverages, 25 cents and 15.
Thank you.
got another one? Make the same old speech.
Yeah.
Stand here.
Okay.
There.
Wait. I forgot it.
Should we come and round him up?
Yeah. Wait. I got a new one.
No.
What is it?
They're coming around my mouth and she'll be coming around my mouth.
You can have the same one I got.
Well, this is a different one. And then when the boat goes down, you run.
She'll be coming. It's not an unlike Marky's, but it is. She'll be coming around. It's sort of, you know, like,
Did I put the wing on? Like,
oh.
Sing it together, can't you?
I'll sing it together.
I don't want it.
Why? She'll be coming around my mountain. When she comes, she'll be coming around my mountain. Why don't you do, me and Nick were doing it in my bed last night. She'll be coming around the mountain. When she comes, she'll be coming around the mountain. When she comes, she'll be coming. You knocked yourself. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes to hear me.
Are you
going
to play with
us? Then I'm not going to play with you.
Mommy?
Hey,
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Yep, take that out of me. She'll be coming around the mountain.
What's your principal's name?
Mr. Anderson.
That's
good
butter.
Yep,
so.
You like it?
Do you like the school?
Well, I like everything except for my teacher.
Why don't you like your teacher?
Gives us homework all the time.
Yeah.
Okay then,
Don't you have to do homework? I mean, how can you
what?
Do?
We could do it without homework. If we always get our work done in school, but then he gives us separate homework to bring to school so that the next day we don't have as much. But that's not fun. It's not fun to do homework when you gotta go to Hebrew. Okay then. Do you like your principal?
My principal? Oh, he's one of the nice people who works in school.
Oh. Hey, what about you? What's the name of the school you go to and the name of your teacher and your grade?
Well, my teacher's name is Mrs.
What's your name?
Nikki Tilson.
All right, now answer the rest.
What were the questions?
What's your teacher's name? What's your grade?
Okay, just a minute. My teacher's name is Mrs. Goldman. I'm in the fourth grade. I'm 9 years old. What was the next question?
Do you like school?
Yes.
Is there anything at all you don't like about it?
Yes.
What?
Arithmetic.
Are you good in arithmetic?
Well, so far.
You study?
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
An archaeologist.
An archaeologist.
What's that?
Ma'am's guy that studies old stuff.
Old stuff?
Oh, yeah.
He studies history.
Yeah.
That's Maggie Mouse.
And, what would you like to, what subject do you like the best?
Let's see. I like them all except the
Do you like the principal of your school?
Yeah.
What else do you like about school?
Well, I like my principal very much. And my teacher, I like her too.
Do you like Spanish?
Well, yeah.
Who's your Spanish teacher?
You mean his real name?
Yes.
Well, let's see. Senor Hathaway, I think.
All right, what is his teacher?
When he teaches Spanish?
Don Miguel.
Don Miguel.
Don Miguel.
Don Miguel.
Do you know how to count up to five yet?
Yes, of course.
How do you do?
Spanish.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve, diez, once, doce, trece,
catorce,
seis.
Oh,
do you know what, do they watch television? And do it by television?
Yes.
What does he talk about in Spanish?
Well, he teaches us how to talk in Spanish.
And how does he go about doing that? Does he have any certain things to do it with?
No, just his mouth. Español, Spanish.
Some people told me that he has two puppets named Paco and Maria.
Paco and Maria.
Paco and Maria.
See.
And they watch television a lot, Paco and Maria.
See.
And Maria always says, he's falling. He fell.
See.
How does that go in Hebrew? I mean Spanish.
Let me see now. I forgot now.
How does it go in Hebrew?
I don't know. It's something like Yafi or something like
no.
that.
Oh well.
And did you go to Hebrew school?
No.
Would you like to go to Hebrew school?
In a way.
Why not?
Why would you want to go?
Well, I don't know.
Why do you,
Dad? I don't.
Well, you might learn to speak Hebrew and go to Israel. Wouldn't you like to do that?
I'd like to go to Israel and all that, but it just takes up a bit of time.
Yeah.
I have no time for gel anymore or anything. I can't even go to drama classes.
Oh, you can't? Would you like to go to drama classes with us?
Mama says I can next year.
You like the classes? Drama?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What are you doing now?
Well, we're talking about Brotherhood Week because next week we're supposed to put on a skit next Sunday for Brotherhood Week.
Uh-huh. Who are you supposed to do it to?
For? I think some children.
I heard that you were going to do it for the Brown something State Center.
Yeah.
And the
Christ Child
Center.
Yeah. And then they're going to do skits too.
Maher, Maher. Kara, Basefer, Kara.
that you read Beta Bear, Da Bear. Ha Sefer Ha Sheni. Kol Hayalad Hayol Baskita. Ha Morea Amar. Yaladim. Yom Anaknu Gomrim Et Ha Sefer. Anaknu Gomrim Et Ha Sefer Ha Rishon. Kol Echad Haya Ha Shama. David Sha'a. Eitzeh Sefer Ba'akar. Ha Sefer Ha Rishon. Ha Moreh Amar. Aharei Ha Sefer Ha Rishon. Ba Ha Sefer Ha Sheni. Ha Sefer Ha Sheni. Karu Kol Yeladim. Kein Amar Ha Moreh. Ha Sefer Ha Sheni. Zeh Sefer Ha Sheni.
Kennedy!
Just say Kennedy.
if next in one we
no be serious.
And I think if next in one we'd have a war.
With who?
I don't know.
For who, really?
Well, Russia or Cuba or something like that.
Russia? Well, if we had a war with Russia or Cuba, well, what do you think would be the outcome of the war with Cuba if we had a war with Cuba?
Well, nothing much. We'd probably win.
Mm-hmm. With Russia?
Nobody would.
What do you mean by that?
The world would get exploded. Mm. Exactly, by a hydrogen and atomic bomb.
Well, that's an interesting thought. In other words, you didn't want the world to be exploded.
You would dumb idiot.
Come on. Is that true?
Well, no, I would like the world to blow up with hydrogen bombs, but...
Okay, all right. Why?
Because I want to stay alive.
Oh.
Why?
Joshie, now you interview David.
Yeah.
All right, David, I'll interview you. No, no, you'll turn it off. What do you have to say,
Davidson,
to
the Jerry
Keith Carter?
Hey, it's still gone, Dave!
What do you think would be the outcome of the war with Russia?
Be there.
Very funny.
All right. Now, listen. I'd like to ask you, where'd my paper go? So, what do you think about the trouble in the South with the Negroes? Why don't you think about it?
I don't know why.
Ask about your love life.
All right.
What?
The carnival? I don't know. How did you like the carnival yesterday?
Oh, I want a cake. Then,
ask me if he's in love.
Yeah, are you in love?
No.
Okay. Who's the girl? Who's the lucky girl? All right.
Okay. Please, Fifth Amendment. Huh? Oh, yeah. On the grounds that you answer me. Never mind.
Incriminate. Well, you can't go through life from. Let me
give you one of those things.
Turn
it
off, please.
You just wasted.
What do you think of
it?
When you're sick.
Well.
Oh, by the way, your father
is wrong. Hippie car.
Yeah.
Are you sure your father's wrong? Doesn't wear any glasses.
I said, what does he think like?
Is it married?
National average.
Is it married?
Well, he's average.
Is it married? His wife is beautiful.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, what do you think your sister looks like? Your sister Jossie.
Oh, no.
I mean, what do you think she thinks?
Well, she's barefoot, braided hair, one blue rubber band, another yellow rubber band, her things over her face.
It is not.
I don't know why. Barehanded, barefooted.
None of that.
The things she got.
You ate <asshole. laughs> All right, now what do you think your other sister looks like?
My other sister?
Well, come on, look at your dad.
I mean, what do you think she thinks like?
Like
Judy.
What does Judy think about?
What do you think I look like?
I don't know. I can't see. My voice is coming.
Come on, go ahead. What do you think I look like? Do it right, too.
Red ears.
Shut up.
Go ahead. Red ears, brown eyes, with a black spot.
I got green eyes, but go ahead anyway.
With black spot in the middle.
Black glasses. You can get a black glasses.
White teeth.
No glasses. Jenny Chirac.
No glasses?
Uncombed hair.
Uncombed hair?
No hair.
No hair.
Hey!
I'm not a
hair!
A hole in his pants.
A hole in his pants. No decent shoes.
These are boots. They're climbing boots. I took them for...
Oh, you kids. Turn it off. Turn it off.
I'm gonna...
not really serious.
Okay, David, now you ask me what I look like. What my pants...
You mean she's pretty?
Yeah.
Oh. What else do you like her sister, Vicky?
Vicky, I don't like her very much, but
I sometimes play.
Do you think you would like to marry John? Jan, at your age, I mean, you probably won't end up doing it. You might, but I doubt it. What would you like to?
I might not. Mary, is there anybody you like about her? Anybody else you like? Any girlfriends you're working with? What do you like about him? What are some of the other ones?
Well, next one is the house we got from John and Uncle Bob.
Is it Joanne Polsky?
No, Paul Wharton.
Paul Wharton.
He's a book there in that room, way rare.
Oh, what do you like about him?
Well, where's Director's birthday party? And he let me go up in the room because he was just odd for a little bit. And another thing, he acts like a grown up, like pet.
Oh, do you think he's cute?
He's a little cute.
Oh. Who else do you like?
Well, the next one is Joanne Cope.
Joanne Cope, what do you like about her?
Well,
I believe teacher and me believe that she did it because nobody likes her in school. And she will dance, and I'm trying to make friends with her, and she won't let me. She just lets me, and I told her teacher, and she made me go out and show me the hall.
Oh, well, is there any certain people in school that you like to play with? Did you say 29?
Is 29 this many? Is it 10 and 10 and 9? Like this, and this? Yeah.
Well, what if only one came back, so we put that.
Oh, so you've got 30.
But, you still go on them. They can be back to time we do our party. Only just as long as I got them all done. I can be just choking around and nobody else has
that. Oh!
So, because I got all my need and I don't have any more.
Who's the person that just came back?
Oh, her name is Debbie King.
Debbie King.
Was
she sick?
Yes, she was.
Does she live right down here by us?
Not by us, but she's a little far.
Yeah. She lives down by your cousins, right there. By Scotty and them. That's enough.
I think two houses away.
Do you want me to tell your fortune for you?
What's fortune?
Well, I'll show you. 1 minute.
I bet that's a 3.
It's not like a 3.
Alright, now, how old do you want to be when you marry, if you marry Jan?
I would be plus 400.
200?
Yeah.
Do you mean 20?
Yeah. Yeah, 20 about.
Okay.
You know, what do you call
them? And, what about Joanne?
Well, I
want
to be 61.
61. And Ellen, how would you want to be about 19?
How old do you want Jan to be?
Well, I like her to be 14.
I think 19 would be better. And when you're 61, how old do you want Joanne to be? Joanne Polsky.
What's the name of that story?
I like her to be
about the Oriental woman.
62.
With the breath. And,
alright. And what about Joanne? And what about Ellen? Would you like her to be 19?
No.
Or 18? You're 21.
What was the other one?
Jan is 19, Jan is 19, you're 20. When Joanne is 61, you're 59. When Ellen is 21, you're.
Okay, Joanne's 61.
Ellen. How old do you want Ellen to be?
Ellen will be. I'm up to 21.
That many, and that many.
21. And she'll be 22.
Alright. And what do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a house or a great big town or a barn or a shack or what? When you're with Jan.
Oh, I'm going to be a lawyer. And I'll have a house.
Alright, what about, do you want that house to be a small house or a big house?
I guess.
How many children do you want with Jan?
Oh, about 61.
61 children? You mean, four?
Yeah, no. Just as many as you.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Alright, and how, do you want a big house or a small house?
Well, about.
Big house or small house?
About four bedrooms.
Yes, I know, but you want it to be a real big one, or a real small one, or a medium?
A medium.
Medium?
Do
you want one to be like our house?
Yeah, this time. All
right. All right, now with Joanne, how many children do you want to be? You want to have?
Today I said five.
You want four. All right, and how many, and what kind of a house do you want to live in for her? A big house or a small house?
Well, I'll need one bedroom
house. I'll put small house, at or medium. Small and
medium. Yeah, medium.
Right, medium. Yes. All right, now, with Ellen, how many children do you want to have?
If you don't read these, Daddy, I wouldn't do that. That's the problem.
How many children do you want to have?
Oh, I'll have about
three.
Yeah, they do.
You want six.
Okay, and what kind of, do you want a big house for that? Or a palace, or what?
A little house. I mean, a big house.
Okay, now wait a minute, and you will have your fortune.
I'm not learning.
No, but
This is just the fun.
Yeah. That's just the fun way of saying
it. Danny, do you know any other things you want to say?
You know what?
Well, I guess it is all.
Okay, so now you can go and play some games.
When he wasn't born, so he knows me. I've come to him many times, and I will again. It was spring when he was born, and the little prairie flowers were up, and the grass was so green it colored there. She stopped on the low side of the butte. She heard the mare scream, and it was a great thing for me because I always had a white horse running in my dreams, and there I saw him lying in the little flowers, pure white, with rosy nose and glistening hoofs as if the sun shone under his wrinkled hide and lit everything around him. The mare danced, licking and cleaning him with her tongue. I began to sing to her. I watched them for days, keeping close. He was my brother and my dream. I saw him rise on his flower stem legs, snorting and nickering, and all his legs went out from under him. And his mare's mom, Nugget, and licked him while he was studying how to stand in the big wind.
The young rabbit danced around him, and he danced with the antelopes. I followed them to water holes, and I think he got used to me singing to them, and I'm sure he knows my song even now. Indians know very well how to speak to horses. I saved him once from a coyote, and he leaped like a dream with the cottontails. Every spring after that, I found him someplace and saw him leaping like a waterfall of flowers, and I knew his voice out of the herds, and he ran in my dreams. A long sunlight fell aslant and began to lose its warmth. I know what you're thinking, Sweetgrass said. It is bad to take him from the herd. I would not do it for any other reason than for the tall hunter. They will like each other. Smell them in the wind? I didn't smell anything, but I got excited thinking we were that close. When will we see them? We will see them soon. Never ask Sweetgrass what hour. He will only answer how many moons, how many winds away, or seven buttes west. You think Niphawk is behind us somewhere? You do not know if a bad man is behind, east, west, north, or south, but you do know he is here, there. His black heart blows in every wind. He has no sleep for thinking of that horse. And the white coyotes will know you.
He knows me. I rolled up and tried to sleep. Every morning I practiced with my rope and tried to make my ears more keen. Sweetgrass would laugh soundly at me. He always tried to teach me to ride better, but my old nag sagged, so in the middle, it was no use.
My old nag was taller than most horses. I had taken her right from the plow and ridden her straight into Texas, and she loved it like I did. She has always eaten the poor fare of the stony fields and found the prairie grass of the great sweetness. Her hip bones stuck out, so I often found my hat on them. Oh, she stood so tall the wolves could not get at her. She was thick-bodied, white-headed, short mane, long ears, with a speckled coat, well, white stockings on her heavy legs. Her huge bulk sailed across the prairies like a big sailboat, her ears flapping, her insides shaking up and down, rocking me to sleep. I could hear her sway back like a little child, and she would watch over me with the ferocity of a sea serpent. mother, the dangerousness of a mother, looking back at me with her deep-set eyes full of enduring love for me. She learned to weather the prairie, northerns that came up before you knew it. She could course a bee and was on her way sometimes before I knew where we were going, and I got there before I knew where it was. Many's the time I've had the blanket snuffed off of me while I was sleeping, and she blew a blast of warning down my neck, telling me of attacking wolves or swooping eagles. She could fight off anything that was menacing me. She was so beautiful and homely that I thought that, and my own, that I was hers, and it was a question of enduring love. My old nag and Sweet Grass's prairie pony got to be at home with each other, grazing along like old friends. Sweet Grass made me put a bit on my impatience. You have to have strength and patience of a horse to follow a horse, he said.
You're very funny, man.
I'll be there.
Come on.
You were just doing it. You make your strength go a long ways like the Indian. Save your wind like your story of the turtle and the rabbit. It was true, I wanted to push ahead, but Sweetgrass followed the hoofs for hours, then would cut around a big butte climbing dizzy heights, and sometimes we saw the dust of the herd, but we would not hurry and laughed at my impatience. The white man itches. He has a terrible itch, and he would laugh without making a sound. The vultures circled above us, and at night the wolf shadows drifted near us. Could they be stalking the herd, too? The third day, Sweetgrass said, did you hear the coyotes talking about rain last night? When the coyote wails, it will rain. When he shouts, it will be dry. They also tell of the approach of a friend or of the bad. If anyone knows where Nipawk is, it is the coyotes. I had a coyote follow my camp when a panther was following me, and I didn't know it. I said it couldn't rain, that coyotes are liars and gamblers like men. The air was still and sweet. The west was clear as crystal. It's quiet, I said. Watch all signs, Sweetgrass said, and be on guard when you don't hear or see any sign. It was quiet, and I thought I saw the shadow of a wolf float between us and the setting sun, or maybe it was a cloud, or Nip Hawks. Suddenly, it started to rain, and we found a shelter in the rocks. The rain around us like a curtain. Thank you, coyote, I said, leaving us snow. Sweetgrass laughed. Yes, we all live by helping each other here. The buff has a dull eye, and the antelope gives him the signal with his quick white tail. The antelope mother watches the curlew, who sees the coyote first. The friend of the deer is the pinyon jay, who will make sharp cries when he sees a man with a gun. The squirrel bark warns the wild turkey, who listens to the armadillo and the crow. I owe my life many times to the killdeer, who walks along the ground crying, danger.
Peaceful blowouts gazed the wild mustangs. The only sound was the wind through the grass blowing our man smelled behind us so that not a head lifted as we reined our horses. Sweetgrass motioned me with his eyes for stealth and silence. I followed his movements with my own as he slowly dismounted, signaled his horse for silence, drawing them quietly back out of sight. Then we crawled to the rise and of the ground, seeing them lower, and suddenly we saw him clearly. The white coyotes trotting around, nestling the mares, nipping his stray coat, lifting his snake head, sniffing the air. I knew by the actions of Sweetgrass that we were going to settle down in one of those long waits I had gotten used to where you can't breathe, scratch yourself, sneeze, or even a loud thought. When you are quiet on the prairie, it seems to grow larger around you as if you were seen through a microscope. Just with a look of his eye as he pointed out to me the world of rabbit tracks, a city a city kiss across the world of trails.
This biographical stuff, the kind of baloney the columnists thrive on, is one thing I can't stomach. I'm an actor by accident, I guess, though I've always been involved in some kind of theatrical bit since I was a child. You know, school plays, music, debate and stuff. I grew up in a little Indiana town named Fairmont. I was an only child. My father was a farmer, but he was something of an artist too. He had this remarkable adeptness with his hands. I studied the violin when I was a kid, but didn't take. That was Mother's idea. If she hadn't died, I'd probably be sawing away yet. Having no mother is tough on a kid, you know. But when she died, I went to live with my aunt and uncle, great people. The way I figure it, whatever abilities I may have now took shape when I was in high school. I also went in for sports like pole vaulting and track in order to prove something to myself. Track gave me the sense of discipline I needed. Later on, I won a state oratorical contest. I think I might have won the national contest, but I didn't go on with it. After graduation, I went to live with my father in Los Angeles, and just for the hell of it, I signed up at UCLA for a pre-law course. But it didn't pan out. I guess I wasn't serious enough about it. I even joined a fraternity there on campus, but I busted a couple of guys in the nose and got myself kicked out. As for the law course, well, law calls for a certain talent for dramatics, but I guess it wasn't my cup of tea. By then, I had a notion that acting might be the career for me. When I first mentioned acting to Dad, he didn't think it was such a hot idea. He'd seen too much Hollywood garbage and thought I'd be wasting my time. Don't get me wrong, though. I'm not knocking Hollywood. I'm in no position to. After I decided to try my luck in pictures, I contacted an agent and a handful of small parts and got a handful of small parts in movies like Has Anybody Seen My Gal? It was one of those frothy family-type musicals. In that one, I had a line or two as this fresh kid who comes into a drugstore where Charles Coburn is filling in behind the counter. I was supposed to give him an elaborate description of an ice cream sundae I wanted. He listens, then says to me, "Would you come back tomorrow for a fitting?" Then there was Fixed Bayonets, a Korean War picture. There we were, all crouched down behind this hill, covered with dirt and sweat. And it was night, raining, real Hollywood, you know. I had exactly one line. It went, "It's a rear guard coming back." What a part. The move to New York turned out to be a wise one, I think. I picked up odd jobs here and there, and I began to study at the Actor's Studio under Lee Strasberg. Most of what I've learned about acting has come from that man. He's incredible, a walking encyclopedia with a fantastic insight into human behavior. I played an Arab in The Immoralist on Broadway and got an award for it. Then came East of Eden under the direction of Ilya Kazan. I didn't read the book. I don't work that way. I'd much rather justify myself with the adaptation than with the source. I think I understood the part, and I knew, too, that if I had any problems about projecting the boy's background, I could straighten them out with Kazan. But George Stevens, for my money, is the greatest director of them all, even greater than Kazan. This Stevens was born for the movies. He's so real, so unassuming, and he doesn't miss a thing. Also, we've got a wonderful script for Giant. You know, when it wants to, Hollywood can accomplish tremendous things. And this movie might be one of them. I sure hope so. A lot of people have asked me about Pierre Angeli. Well, I met her when she was making the Silver Chalice, and I was about to begin Eden. She is a rare girl. Unlike most Hollywood girls, she's real and genuine. And though she's young, she has a rare insight into life. The only trouble is she gets confused by listening to too many people. Something happened when I went to New York after Eden was finished. Things were different between us when I got back. I kept asking Pierre if there was someone else, but she wouldn't tell me. Then, the night before her engagement was announced, she told me she was going to marry Vic Damone. I couldn't believe it. I wouldn't marry unless I could take care of a wife properly, and I don't think I'm emotionally stable enough to do so right now. To me, acting is the most logical way for a person with problems to express himself. All of us have a great need to let go in some way, and for me, acting is the only outlet. A lot of people laugh at this, but I think every person has to find his real self. That old maxim, know thyself, is worth trying to follow. Like a lot of other people, I'm searching in the only way I know how. James Dean.
Yeah.
The great. The Raven by Eddie Al Poe. Once upon a midnight pier, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as if someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door.
Luther King.
Martin Luther King. Only this, and no more. Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished them all. Vainly I had sought to bar from my books a surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore. Nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, 'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more. Presently my soul grew stronger. Hesitating then no longer, "Sir," said I, "or madam, surely your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping." "And so gently, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. There wasn't none there but darkness, I tell you.